Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710 and seattlesports.com. Happy Monday to everybody on a beautiful day outside. Hopefully, everybody had a great weekend. Got much to discuss. We're going to discuss most of it with Ryan Roland Smith at 3 o'clock today, so stay tuned for that. We'll find out what we learned at 5:15, and then at 5:30, we'll turn you over to the Mariners pregame show. So we'll blow through all of that, get you ready for the Mariners, who are sitting there at 500 after their four-game series with the Boston Red Sox, which, Dave, is almost magical, almost a miracle based on the way the offense performed in those four games.
Yeah, it didn't really blow my skirt up.
I don't think any skirts were blown up.
No skirts blown. By the way, real quick before we move on, Purdy was making 739. No, he was making.
He got a check for.
He was making 889. He was making 889,000 and got an additional about 740,000.
Yeah,
that's a pretty sweet little pay increase there.
75 point. Well, this says. Let's see. 739, 795, which comes out to 75.1% of the 985,000 base salary he made in 2023.
Yeah.
And that additional check ranks as the 24th largest payout this year.
Right. Meanwhile, he took his team to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's set a franchise record for passing yards. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
4280 is a 49ers franchise record. I was sure it was Jim Druckenmiller that set the record, but not him.
Yeah.
Did you see who the highest paid or got the biggest check?
No.
Former Ravens guard John Simpson tops the list of payouts at $974,613, nearly doubled his salary after playing last season on a one-year minimum deal for just over $1 million, $1.01 million.
Yeah. And I think, did I hear over the weekend he signed with the Jets?
He signed
with the Jets.
Simpson signed a two-year deal with the New York Jets in March, in which he could earn up to $18 million.
Well, and we'll get to Mariner baseball here in a second. But I was just listening over the weekend, you know, that the Jets are kind of going all in for this season. They've got, you know, a bunch of veteran guys that they're signing. And, you know, they're pretty much banking on, you know, Aaron Rodgers coming back and taking their team to the playoffs. But okay, that's enough NFL talk. Let's get to the Mariners. Yeah, I mean, look, 2-2. I think, yeah, that's kind of how they played. I mean, and you know, the one game, the two games they win, one's in extra innings. You know, Julio comes up with a big hit, and then the other one was, you know, just a single home run from JP and really, really good pitching from Kirby. So you know, those were. I don't know. Did it make you feel like, okay, they had to go to extra innings? They won 1-0. Are we lucky to have the team at 2-2?
Yes.
Based on the offense?
Yes, I'd say they're very lucky. And let's preface this with it's four games. You've got 158 to go. So nobody should be drawing any hard and fast conclusions about this team, good or bad. It's great to see what we saw out of Kirby and Gilbert. Phenomenal. Some other things we'll point out that were really good, some things not good, but it's four games. So we say all of this keeping that in mind.
Right.
So 2-2, yeah, I feel like they're really lucky. In those four games, the offense as a whole, batting 178 with a 226 on base, a 271 slug, and a 497 OPS. For those that don't know, that's not good.
No.
They struck out 45 times in four games with just six walks.
I mean, that's ridiculous. I guess I didn't really see that happening at the time. I'm just kind of watching the game, and then all of a sudden it's over, and you look at that number, it's ridiculous. So, yeah, and we'll talk about that later with Divish had some thoughts on that and a nice article that he wrote. But, yeah, it was just I don't know. I mean, I don't know how good the Red Sox are. I think they've lost their division like 2 or 3 years in a row.
Well, they were last the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And I think they finished last 3 of the last 4.
Yeah, they were last place. So, yeah, I don't know how good they are. A lot of unrecognizable names. But, yeah, it's that part of it was kind of... Yeah, I mean, I you're sort of 50-50 with the pitching. I mean, you got great performances out of Logan and Kirby, but, you know, the other two just, you know, okay.
Not awesome.
No.
No. And well, just sticking with the offense for a moment, here's what Scott had to say about the offense over the weekend.
You know, we need to do a better job there as well as, you know, handling the off-speed pitches. We have been chasing a little bit more than normal and haven't gotten the ball in play like I thought we would. So, again, not our best series. You look up, we split it. For a club that I think is, we have a good offensive team. We just have not gotten it going yet.
I think he's right. I mean, it's 4 games. Guys are finding their rhythm, finding their swing, if you will. And I don't expect this is who they are moving forward. But it's, you know, all you have to react to at this point are these 4 games. And when you see a team strike out 45 times and they made a concerted effort in the offseason to eliminate the strikeouts, right, you're going, all right, well, what happened? Well, there seems to be a book out in terms of this team's ability to handle the off-speed stuff, and teams are going to continue to throw it until they can prove they're not going to chase. You know, so it's it was, you know, disappointing in that, but at the same time, you look at it and go, hey, your offense was pretty pitiful this through these 4 games, but you ended up taking 2 out of 2. So, you know, take it for what it's worth. You know, looking at some of the offense that's been good so far, Josh Rojas has been good, hitting .500. He's not doing damage, really, but he's doing his thing at the plate.
The stretch and the 3-1 pitch, swinging a ground ball up the middle. This one will sneak into right center field for a base hit. Hanier scores from third. Around to third goes Ty France. Josh Rojas with a clutch base hit with 2 outs. Ties the game at 1-1.
So he's 4-for-8 through those 4 games. .500, .500 on base, .500 slug. One run scored, 1 RBI you heard there, and 1 strikeout.
I was happy for him. That was a guy last year that we talked about. We had him up in the booth, remember? And
yeah.
We're like, after he left, we're like, we really need him to be good.
Yeah.
Really need him to be good, because he's a great kid and really good to talk to. But there were some good performances there. But yeah, that was, you know, like Cal. I mean, Cal did not have a good weekend, and that's something that I think you can count on, that Cal is going to sort of come back, you know, after, and again, very small sample size, like you said, but just looking at these 4 games, that's very uncharacteristic of Cal.
Yeah, and we'll look at some of those guys, but, you know, still focusing on the positive, Mitch Haniger, 4-for-14, .286, .333 on base, .571 slug, he's driven in 3. He's scored 3 times. He's hit a home run. He's got a walk. He does have 6 strikeouts, but you see him healthy. He's had an impact. He's a guy that's in just 4 games. You look forward to the season with him, hopefully maintaining his health and seeing what kind of damage he can do in the lineup. I mean, he just is a threat, and he seems to be on it and, you know, getting out of the gates to a decent start. I'll say the same for Ty France. It's not blistering. He's hitting .267, but just seeing him make contact, he's had a couple of loud outs, a couple that he squared up, that he hit right at people. So it's a step in the right direction for a guy that really took a step back last year. So you're looking for the positives. Through 4 games, yeah, he's, compared to what the rest of the lineup's doing, he's amongst the best.
Yeah.
I think it's the 3rd highest average on the out of everybody out there at .267. So,
well, and also his defense was just phenomenal. A couple of the
phenomenal picks.
Was the one, I think, was it the final out in the extra innings game? Or no, it wasn't that, obviously.
No, there was one.
There was where. Yeah, it came from 3rd base from Rojas, and it was just a perfect pick.
Yeah.
I mean, just beautiful.
He had a couple of them over the weekend. One was just a really, really good short hop that, you know, he picked, but one was not a great throw where he had to stretch to his right,
yeah,
and short hop that one. He just, defensively, he just doesn't get the credit that I think he deserves. He's very, very certain over there. And yeah, I think the infield, they've talked about it before, how good they feel about, hey, I know if I've got to rush this throw over there and I got a one hop in front of him, I got a short hop, he's going to come up with it.
Yeah.
And he did. So decent at the plate. He's not scorching. He's not driving in a bunch of runs, but just good to see him making contact and a couple of great defensive plays out there.
And I feel like his defense makes me forget about Evan White. Because Evan White was so good, but he just could not hit a baseball. Could not. But you just were like, oh, man, his defense was – I mean, he was a gold glove, right? I think in the pandemic
him
year.
Him and JP.
Shortened year, but still. And, you know, always would sort of pine away for, gosh, I wish they could get him right. Now I don't feel that way anymore because Ty is so good at first base.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a couple of really nice plays out there. So that was good to see. And what got me almost as excited as anything out there, Dave, JP opens the game laying down a bunt. A bunt. They're manufacturing runs. They're putting the game in motion. They're now, not an awesome bunt. Way too hard. But third baseman still rushed the throw, made a poor throw on it, and then it ends up costing him. And it was beautiful. Just the idea that he actually got a bunt down.
Yeah.
And they're going to play a little small ball. They're going to force the action. Loved seeing that. Loved it. It was beautiful. It's what I've been just clamoring for, talking to everybody that's talked about the Marine layer and how advantageous would it be for this team to do something like that to sort of counter what the weather does to the ball in the air. So what are you going to do? Are you going to rely on the home run and beat your head against the wall? Or are you going to try to find a way to manufacture runs and find your way to get on base? And I just love seeing it. I was so excited to see that. It was amazing.
How hard do you think that is?
I don't think it's easy by any stretch, but these are the best players in the world, and it's a fundamental part of the game. I just don't think anybody truly, if anybody's watched batting practice, we see it every time we're out there. You see they take the first two or three pitches, and they kind of give a little perfunctory effort, like, okay, doink, doink, okay, now I'm going to hit. A little bunt on the first couple pitches, and then I don't. Outside of that, how much work they're doing on it, I really don't know. I have no idea.
I don't think, because we were out there at spring training watching batting practice, and it was like one or two, maybe?
Yeah, it's usually the first two pitches they'll take. They'll just do a little, okay, well, here we go. Now we're focused.
It's kind of, to me, it's kind of like the shift where it's like, well, if it was easy, then everybody would do it. Okay, make them pay for the shift, but nobody seemed to be able to do that. But, you know, I don't see Major League Baseball players working on bunting. Hardly ever. I mean, and everything's all about the launch angle and everything and swinging away. And I don't know. I mean, I feel like I would like to see them work on it more, and they probably do it more than we are aware. But if it's that easy, then how come they're not doing it, I guess. Like you said, it's easier than punishing someone for the shift.
Yes.
Because a full swing, everything, but, you're putting the bat right in front of you. I feel like that should be something that they can work on, and you just don't see that many teams. I think the first time that I really even noticed it was the World Baseball Championship.
Japan?
Yeah, Japan.
Killing teams.
Yeah.
They focus on it. These guys don't.
They made it look pretty easy.
Yeah, I think it is easier. Again, best players in the world, we invariably will get the text, you try bunting a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. Well, I'm not one of the best baseball players in the world being paid millions of dollars to play baseball. That's a fundamental. It's like tackling, Dave. It's sort of a fundamental element of the game that doesn't get focused on very much, but can be very, very beneficial when you do it well.
Yeah.
So I'll leave that there. Now, some of the bad of the offense, Canzone has looked bad. Ooh, he has not looked good at the plate at all. Yeah. You look at him, Urias, Raleigh, Crawford did have the home run, which ultimately won the game because it was the only run scored. And Polanco combined, those guys, Canzone, Urias, Raleigh, Crawford, Polanco combined in that series, 4 for 52 with two runs driven in, 21 strikeouts, 4 walks, 3 runs scored.
That's 5 guys.
Yeah.
They got 4 hits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They drove in 3 and 2 of them came on that.
Well, the guy I don't really have any faith in is Urias. I don't know. I don't see it, but hopefully he'll come around. Canzone had a good spring. We know JP had a great breakout year last year, and Polanco is a solid, accomplished guy. And Cal Raleigh, at some point he's gonna go on some kind of a ridiculous streak. So I don't worry about those guys, but Urias, I do.
Yeah, it's just looking at the series. That's what you got out of that 5-man combo there. Then you throw in Julio, who's 3 for 16. batting 188, 235 on base, 250 slug. He did have the game winner in extra innings, which was huge. But just overall, nobody expects this is who he is. He's going to get better. These guys are going to get better. But that's sort of what stuck out on the bad side of the offense. Now, the good side of pitching, how about Logan Gilbert? 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 8 strikeouts, and just 1 walk.
Some is the feel, how it's coming out of my hand, how they're reacting. I think it's nice having a little more freedom to be able to lean on that stuff when I want to, and not being just too reliant on the fastball or anything like that. So it was a little bit of both, the game plan before the game, knowing we had it if we wanted to, and then just how it was coming out of my hand and able to locate it.
Just talking about his secondary pitches there, and just he and George Kirby are making us look good because we both picked them as 2 of our all-stars.
Yeah.
And they were phenomenal. And then George Kirby, obviously, he goes 6 2/3. Could see he was mad about being pulled.
Of course. but yeah, Logan, real quick, I'm going to tell him next time, don't say it's a little bit of both, okay? So whenever you ask Logan, is it this or that?
He's
he says, it's a little bit of both. But did you see in the post game, the presser, where Divish ripped Goldie? He was he said something like, yeah, you were throwing a pitch and Goldie couldn't figure it out.
Yeah,
he kind of smiled.
That was good.
I was like, oh, I text Divish. I'm like, oh, you're taking a shot at Goldie, huh? Yeah. He's a, you bet.
That's good. Yeah, Gilbert was phenomenal. He was outstanding in that game. And then Kirby, what impressed me is that he got off to a bad start. He walked the leadoff hitter. He walked 2 in that first inning, which he doesn't do. And you're going, boy. Is this is going to be a bad day for him? It's, chalk one up. Here we go. And he pulled it together. And he pulled it together on a night they desperately needed him to. He goes 6 2/3, gives up just 2 hits, no runs, 8 strikeouts, and those 2 walks. So for him to do that, it was I was really impressed with that. And he talked about being able to get locked in after the start.
Honestly, probably like the first or second batter of the second inning, I just, flipped some heaters in there and, I just felt good. I felt just smooth going down the mound and it came out easy. So kind of right then and there.
Awesome. And the 2 walks pissed him off.
Yeah, yeah. And he looked mad about being pulled out of the game. He wanted to finish that inning. And, yeah, he was outstanding. He was outstanding. And then you look at the other 2 starts, almost identical numbers, Dave. Luis Castillo, Bryce Miller, both went 5 innings. Both gave up 6 hits. Both gave up 4 runs. Miller had 6 strikeouts, Castillo 5. They both walked 2. I mean, outside of the 1 difference in strikeouts,
so weird.
Identical lines, and neither of them good. Now, they both had good moments within those 5 innings, but ultimately the end result was not good.
Yeah. Well, and I was really rooting for Bryce to have a good outing because we talked to him the other day, and we could take credit for it. But, yeah, and I don't know. I don't worry about Castillo. I guess Miller a little bit just because he still has something to prove. But, yeah, getting back to Kirby just real quick, remember last year there was a whole big scare that he has an attitude problem and mm-hmm. this and that. And now all of a sudden they're calling him angry. And
like angry cheese.
Yeah, the angry cheese. I don't even know what that means. Was that Bryce Miller's creation?
Yeah, he gave everybody a cheese name.
A cheese name. Why?
Because they started calling Luis Castillo the big cheese.
The big cheese.
So everybody else had to have a cheese name.
Anyway, yeah. I mean, do you remember that? I mean, I remember everybody was like all concerned and everything. And I'm like, I like this. He's edgy. If he gets himself in trouble, if he's popping off to Scott or something, that's one thing. But I think everybody's just kind of figuring him out, that he's just, that's his intensity and that's what he's all about. He's not like too big for his britches or anything like that. He just doesn't have a big head. He's just a very emotional type of guy that when he gets pissed off, it seems to work for him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I got a little concerned when he started out, walking the leadoff hitter and then you see 2 walks and it's just not who he is. We've talked about him the way we talk about Tyler Lockett. If a ball's near his hands and he doesn't catch it, it really stands out.
Right.
When he walks somebody, it really stands out. So for him to get off to that start and then turn it around the way that he did and just dominate was spectacular.
I got to hear this again. Did you say this? Is this a stat that he had more starts than he did walks last year?
And the year before.
And the year
before.
As
a rookie.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, more starts than walks in both seasons. phenomenal command, and really good to see him face adversity right out of the gate in his season debut and completely flip it like he did, which they desperately needed because they put up one run of support. Yep. 1-0 that game. So that was huge, and the bullpen came up big in that one as well. All right, we'll talk more about what happened with the Mariners over the weekend, get you set for their series with the Guardians coming up, but let's take two.
Well, this might be some good news for the Mariners today. Mitch Garver back in the lineup. Mariners just put that out about 15 minutes ago. Batting fifth after he missed the final three games of the Red Sox series due to back spasms.
Yeah, that's good and bad because we've talked incessantly about the new acquisitions for the offense all come with injury concerns, and he was one of them. And he played one game and then was missing for the next three. And you're like, what the hell, man? One game under your belt and you're already out. So good to see him back in the lineup, and hopefully he's a guy who can provide a little pop, a little production there.
Well, and I always, like, this is something that Mitch Haniger would never have to worry about, right? Like, he doesn't get back spasms. He gets, like, a bone broken or hitting the knots or whatever. And that's the thing that kind of worries you about. You know, he's a 33-year-old guy, Mitch Garver, but I'm really excited to see him. So hopefully he gets through this quickly.
Well, the Final Four is set on the men's side, and it will be set later today on the women's side after two games, one of which includes a highly anticipated matchup, LSU and Iowa. Both teams have made storylines, you know, on and off the court. It's also a rematch of last year's national title game.
Did that story come out yet on
yes.
Mulkey? And it was a whole bunch of nothing.
Well,
right?
It was a profile, and so she did exactly what she was trying not to do by making a big deal about it. People went and read it and then said, well, this is just a profile on the good and bad of her.
Yeah, I mean, she made it sound like there were some nefarious, dirty dealings going on in 2 years of trying to dig up dirt on her, and everybody's like, oh, goodness, what's this bombshell that's going to come out about LSU and her and the program, and it's... It's nothing. I know. Did she get some bad info? Did somebody tell her, hey, they're going to be talking about this, that, or the other? And then it turned out it wasn't in there. Maybe they edited it. I don't know what happened, but I can tell you it seems like a whole lot of nothing considering her reaction to the piece coming out.
On the men's side, you look at how about our guy Zach Edey, the Bond villain with 40 points, 39 minutes on the floor, and it looks like North Carolina State's going to win it all, though.
Over UConn. Wow.
Yeah. Huh. They're going to take down the Purdue Boilermakers as well. You want a little side bet, Lefko?
Sure.
Every time I watch Purdue now, I can't help but just in the back of my mind, I see Mike wringing his hands and screaming and yelling at the television.
Now, I watched some of it up in the press box. Yeah. It's uncomfortable.
There is no screaming and yelling.
Oh, you were watching Mike?
No, you're just getting extremely twitchy and you mutter to yourself and the hands are moving and you're on your knees on the chair and then you get
why
off.
Didn't he,
and then
he's got to make that shot. Now, why didn't he pass that? Yeah, where's the defense?
I don't know that you're talking to anybody in particular. Just if you know there's a body around you, you're just, I assume...
It was a great moment. It was a great weekend.
He's coaching him up.
Yeah.
Take Two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/cyberknife. Prostate. Teams have figured out how to keep the Mariners bats quiet. We're going to get into that next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Have you considered surgery or even joint replacement? Hey, it's Dave Wyman, and before you make that decision, see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, at Seattle Sports and Regenerative Medicine. Why? Because he gives it to you straight. Dr. Wagner said my right knee needs replacement, and I appreciate his honesty and expertise. My left knee is fine right now, but the minute it isn't, I'm heading to Dr. Wagner for his expert opinion. I want to avoid another surgery, and I've heard so many patients rave about results from their 90-minute outpatient stem cell procedure with Dr. Wagner. He's a board-certified Seattle physician with over 30 years of experience and has performed more than 20,000 stem cell procedures, using a person's own stem cells to regenerate cartilage in their own joints. People with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, are back doing what they enjoy without pain and without surgery. Whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before choosing surgery, see Dr. Mark Wagner first. Go to drmarkwagnermd.com.
Mariners texts keep you one step ahead. Receive breaking news, exclusive offers, and so much more. Sign up in just seconds by texting Mariners to 24247. Again, just text the word Mariners to 24247 to stay up to date with all the latest from T-Mobile Park.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed.
Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Coming up at 3 o'clock, Ryan Roland-Smith will join us, as he will each and every Monday at 3 o'clock. So stay tuned for that conversation here with Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710. Meanwhile, you referenced an article that our guy Ryan Divish wrote, and he outlined a trend with the Mariners, and one scouts have picked up on is that they struggle with off-speed, anything with spin. We talked about the overall results being a 178 average over the weekend, 226 on base, 271 slug, 137 plate appearances with 10 runs scored, third fewest in Major League Baseball on 23 hits, six walks, 45 strikeouts. So per MLB StatCast data from Baseball Savant, the Red Sox threw 426 pitches in the first three games. Of that total, 256 of the pitches, which would be just over 60%, were either cutters or variations of the slider or curveballs. Only 55 were classified as four-seam fastballs, which would be just under 13%, and 64 were two-seam fastballs, 15%. All of the rest were off-speed pitches. And then on Sunday, the starter for the Red Sox, Garrett Whitlock, threw 81 pitches with only 23 two-seam fastballs. The rest were either changeups, 25, sliders, 15, sweepers, 13, or cutters, 5. So we talked about their inability to hit the off-speed stuff, and Scott Servais addressed that after the game on Sunday.
You know, we're not getting a ton of fastballs. Until you start hitting the slow ball or the breaking pitch, the changeup, that's what they're going to keep throwing. So we know that. It is a long season, and everybody wants to point, the strikeouts, this and that. You know, we do have a good offensive team. The guys at the top of the lineup and getting pitched tough, and, you know, we're not doing much with it.
Yeah, it was kind of funny in the beginning. I was like, oh, does Scott know about this? Well, of course he does. You know, he's all over it. So, and, you know, Divish writes, Haniger, he crushed a double off a two-seamer from Whitlock to start the second inning. And he said, I don't think we saw another fastball for like 20 to 25 pitches. Servais said, and then he said, well, it was actually 23 to be exact.
He was way off.
He was right in there, 20 to 25. It was 23. Great. You know, he's on top of it, is my point. And, you know, at first I'm like, okay, well, so what are we going to do about this? But I mean, at first it kind of sounded like, you know, oh man, are they really aware of this? Of course they're all over it. But I mean, that is kind of a little bit disturbing. You know, you look at the number of fastballs that they're getting. And then, you know, it talks about how, I think it was Mitch or maybe it was Julio, but he got frozen by, you know, a fastball just because they weren't throwing him.
Yeah.
You know, he's sitting there waiting on it, and all of a sudden, you know, it's a fastball down the pipe and gets strike one.
Yeah, it's again, got to qualify it. It's four games. Guys are still finding their rhythm there, and I don't anticipate this is who they're going to be as the season wears on, that these guys are going to find their rhythm. I'm still much more concerned about their durability, their availability, because I think these guys are going to figure it out, and they're going to adjust. It's the first four games. They got 158 to go. So it is the only thing we have to judge at this point. So you just talk about what we've seen, and they have not handled the off-speed stuff. And
I mean, listen, the Guardians are watching. They're scouting. All of their staff is scouting, showing where the weaknesses are in everybody's game, everybody's swing. Here's the hole in this guy's swing. This guy is likely to chase. This guy has trouble with the soft stuff away. This guy has trouble with, you know, high heat. This guy, you know, everybody's got a different Achilles heel out there that they're going to identify.
Yeah, so I guess they were looking at, like, last year's numbers and stuff like that, and looking at the, you know, and just the approach that hitters seem to take here. But, yeah, you're going off of history, and this is something that needs to get fixed. And, you know, the first thing is being aware of it, right? It's the first step in solving the problem. Just hope they have the ability to do it.
Yeah, and they do have the ability to do it. I mean, you know, some of these guys are probably anxious. They see that the offense is struggling after a couple games. They want to be the guy to, you know, turn things around. I'm sure everybody's pressing a little bit. I'm not that worked up over it. The fact they came out 2-2 again is a minor miracle, and then that's thanks to Logan Gilbert and George Kirby. They were phenomenal. And I would guess that's going to happen more often than not, that this pitching is going to bail out the offense. You know, hopefully the offense can do their part more than they have in previous seasons, but your strength still remains your starting rotation. It's still, that is just the calling card of this team until the offense proves otherwise.
Right. Well, and you know, the other thing about, you know, hitting the off-speed stuff and breaking pitches and stuff like that. Remember, that was what Pete used to always say about Russell Wilson. He was like, yeah, he was a good fielder and everything. Couldn't hit the curve.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough.
I mean, that's something that you're not in Major League Baseball if you can't hit breaking pitches and off-speed stuff.
I mean, right? That was the title of a movie, Trouble with a Curve.
That's right. Clint Eastwood.
That's, you know, you look at Serrano with, you know, the Indians back then, is what they were called. Could crush a fastball, you throw them a breaking ball, you got trouble.
See, they've even made movies about it.
That's right. So it's easier than it sounds. We're making it sound, but again, we're talking about the best in the business, and these guys will figure it out. They'll figure, you know, they'll cut down on the chase, and they'll get things straightened out. I don't have any doubt about that, and I would be stunned if this were a team that had, you know, maybe Julio be in the top 10, because I think that's just part of his game, some swing and miss. But at one point you had four of the top 10 in all of Major League Baseball in strikeouts. Last year with Teoscar, with Gino, with Julio, and with Jared Kelnick.
Right.
And I don't imagine that'll be the case this year. I would think they may just have one.
Yeah. By the way, Teoscar is up to his old tricks, by the way.
Which
now,
would
they
be
played a couple of more games, striking out.
Oh, okay.
He struck out 12 times in 24 at-bats, so every other bat, at-bat, he's striking out. So, but yeah, I mean, look, this is something, I'm glad it happened now, because these are some pretty, you know, significant numbers. I mean, 60%, 60 to 65% breaking balls. I mean, it's just a good thing that they picked up on it, and they know that that's, you know, sort of what's coming, but also you're able to split the series. I mean, those are some pretty ridiculous numbers as far as the lack of offense goes.
By the way, I'm just looking at the Braves and White Sox are in a rain delay, apparently, in the top of the ninth. The Braves are hammering them 9-0. But so far on the young season, Jared Kelnick is hitting .545 with a .583 on base.
Is that including today?
Yeah. He's only 1-for-4 today, according to the box score I'm looking at. But he does have 2 walks, which is certainly helping his on base. But, yeah, hitting .545. They've only played 3 games, or I guess almost 4, when this one goes complete. But it's for a guy who was, what was he? He was like 2 of his first 35 or 37, I think, in spring training. Just dreadful. In spring, and you're going, oh my goodness, this is the last thing this guy needs, is to get in a hole early with his brand new team and trying to prove himself. And yeah, apparently he's off to a pretty solid start with the Braves.
Yeah. Well, since we're checking in on everybody, 14 at bats for Eugenio Suarez and only 2 strikeouts.
What?
And he's batting .429. So
he's certainly going to carry that throughout the season.
1 home run, 4 RBIs, so, and only 1 walk. But yeah, that's pretty much rounds out the swing and miss portion of our team last year, except for Julio.
Yeah.
I feel like that's something that's, again, they got away. I mean, now they're aware of it. You split the series 2-2 with Boston. I don't get the sense that they're a great team, but you know, hopefully they'll get be aware of that and be able to get the offense going, because that's really, I mean, look, we talk about how great the pitching is, but we kind of knew that.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing that was sort of frustrating over the weekend, was the lack of offense.
Well, listen, you could be the 0-4 Houston Astros.
How about that, man? Love that.
They are trailing the A's. The A's have a win. Now, I'm going to guess this will all straighten out at some point. But right now, just looking at the standings and seeing the Astros there at 0-4 with the A's ahead of them, makes me smile.
How awesome is that, though? I mean, you know, you hate Houston and all of their fans.
Yes.
And they're all fired up. Like, we're going to whoop the Yankees. We got the opening series, 4 games. They get smoked.
At home.
Love it.
At home. Just delightful. Just delightful. All right. Coming up, it's the questions we always ask at this time. What is bugging Bob, Dave, Matt, Mike? We'll all find out next. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Have you considered surgery or even joint replacement? Hey, it's Dave Wyman, and before you make that decision, see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, at Seattle Sports and Regenerative Medicine. Why? Because he gives it to you straight. Dr. Wagner said my right knee needs replacement, and I appreciate his honesty and expertise. My left knee is fine right now, but the minute it isn't, I'm heading to Dr. Wagner for his expert opinion. I want to avoid another surgery, and I've heard so many patients rave about results from their 90-minute outpatient stem cell procedure with Dr. Wagner. He's a board-certified Seattle physician with over 30 years of experience and has performed more than 20,000 stem cell procedures, using a person's own stem cells to regenerate cartilage in their own joints. People with severe osteoarthritis, even bone-on-bone, are back doing what they enjoy without pain and without surgery. Whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before choosing surgery, see Dr. Mark Wagner first. Go to drmarkwagnermd.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you're running the hurry up and don't have time for your favorite Seattle sports show, listen to the podcast on demand.
How about that?
Unbelievable.
What a thought.
Every hour, every interview, every look behind the scenes.
It's Geno Smith.
Competition brings out the best in everybody.
If I were a Seahawk fan who wasn't listening to that, I would have to hear that.
Find us on seattlesports.com, the Seattle Sports app, or wherever you get podcasts.
Oh, it's fun.
It changes everything. Never miss a minute of Seattle sports. Your home for the Seahawks and Mariners.
What's bugging Bob?
It could be traffic.
Hey.
It might be Angels fans.
I hate you. I don't even know you.
And it's definitely Stephen A. Smith.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
It's time to find out what's bugging Bob.
What's Bugging Bob, presented by Issaquah Pest Control. A reminder, coming up at 3 o'clock, Ryan Roland Smith will make his official season debut. We've talked to him. He's co-hosted and all that, but he's going to be with us every week during the season, so that begins today. So it'll be every Monday at 3 o'clock. So stay tuned for that. We'll talk more Mariners with him, but we'll get into what's bugging all of us and start, as we do, tradition now, with Matt Nelson. Hi, Matt.
Hi.
Why does Matt get to go first?
Because he's a gold medal complainer.
I'm better at complaining than you are, Dave.
All right.
Get meaner, and then you can start the segment.
Good advice. Get meaner.
Yeah.
All right. What do you got?
I'm severely disappointed in myself, and I don't think I'll ever live this down.
You're the problem again?
No, actually. Oh. the problem is MLB and how fast their games are now. Because I went to the Mariners game yesterday.
Oh.
And I was frustrated at how quickly it went.
Really?
I really was.
You wanted it to last longer.
I wanted it to last longer because I hadn't finished my kettle corn by the time the game ended. And now I've got half a bag of kettle corn in my apartment. But all of a sudden I look up and it's the sixth inning and I thought we'd only been there an hour. So I had to run around, grab a drink before they do last call. And I hadn't finished my kettle corn.
See, that's what it is. It's the last call thing.
Look at you and Dave.
It was two things.
You and Dave agree on something.
That's why we have that open from John Paul Morosi. Nobody ever left saying, I wish there'd been more waiting. And I'm like,
that's the thing, though.
Me.
I would have liked more waiting yesterday.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
There was also a problem of just, like, the geography of the ballpark. I was in shade the whole time. And in the sun, it looked great, but
it was nice for a while. And then when the shade came, it got pretty chilly.
It was chilly.
Yeah.
It was cold.
What? Now, how did somebody talk you into going to a game? How does that happen?
My sister likes going to the games and we can get tickets. So I feel like
you would be going kicking and screaming. Like, are you kidding me? I got to listen to this every single day. I got to run the games.
You Bob, think I'm gonna... aren't you listening? There was kettle corn there.
Here's the thing.
That's the reason why
you went exactly right. I will go anywhere if I am allowed to sit outside and eat kettle corn. I'm not a hard man to please.
Wow. I'm surprised.
All I wanted was to be out in fresh open air eating kettle corn.
Yeah. See, and that, you know, this kind of brings up this whole thing again, because, you know, to me, I had no problem with how long the games were. And, you know, that's why, you know, John Paul and you know who all loved it? Everybody who loves it work the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're the, you know, whether they're doing the broadcast, whatever, you get like an extra 20, 30 minutes.
Are you being serious with me right now?
Yes, I am. Here we go.
You really are.
I love that he's checking. Are you, you're not messing with me.
That is one thing I'd like to point out, though.
A person walk out of a stadium and say, "Wow, I wish that game would have included more waiting."
That was me yesterday. But when I'm working the games, I love how quick they go. Yeah, now. This whole pitch clock thing—it's the best thing that's ever happened. But for the 1 to 2 times a year I'm actually at the ballpark, I wish that they would like rescind the rule.
Yeah.
Just on those days.
Well, I mean, and that's what kind of bothered me about it is everybody was raving about it, but everyone that was raving about it were people that work the games. So, of course, they're happy because they get to go home sooner. They don't have to work as long. But when I'm at a game and they don't have to work as long, I should say. And, you know, when I go to a game, I'm like, well wait a minute. I wanted at least another maybe 2 beers and there's just no time for it.
That was the real heartbreaking part.
Or I just have to drink faster, which...
You've got that skill. We've seen it.
That's a problem.
That's not for you.
You've seen... Yeah, but it's even faster than that, Bob. Oof. I mean, casual.
Drinking shouldn't have a time.
Dave's got pace. I will say that. Dave's got pace.
Well, when there's something in front of it, it's like an accomplishment. You know, I'm like, I gotta get that down quickly.
It's down and then boom, let's get the next one in here. Come on, let's keep it going.
Keep them running. Here we go.
Yeah, I was just expressing my issues with these guys off the air. My T-Mobile saga continues with trying to get MLB TV activated, which is part of the promotion, which you see all over the ballpark. Didn't you, Matt? On the big screen, sign up with T-Mobile and get free MLB TV. And the offer ends on April 1st.
When I saw it yesterday, I legitimately did think, I wonder if Bob ever got that figured out.
Yeah, I was sitting in the stands as well going, liar! Yeah, that's what I was doing.
You know what you should do? You should go to one of the T-Mobile bigwig mucky mucks and complain about it.
I complained to somebody that I don't know if they're a T-Mobile muckety muck. I don't know what their association is officially with that company, but they tried to assure me that it was probably MLB's fault. And when I said no, and they explained, I've deleted the apps and reloaded them. I've been on the phone a combined 2.5 hours with customer service on 2 different occasions, including 45 minutes at the game yesterday. I'm on the phone with a person having me do exactly what the first person had me do 4 days earlier. And it's just not going anywhere. And I'm getting no solution. There's no conclusion to this. And the offer is going to expire by, I don't know, sometime tonight, or today's the last day, essentially.
Oh, you're screwed.
So, yeah, that was one of the main reasons that I switched to T-Mobile. And for whatever reason, nobody can figure it out.
The old bait and switch they pulled on you.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually went into a store. I went into a T-Mobile location. And the guy kind of gave me the palms up like, yeah, I don't know, man. I'm like, well, thank you. You've been helpful.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, so that whole thing continues, and I realize people will text in as they did last time. I had no problem with it. It was super easy for me. I don't know what to tell you. This is not weird. This is not a deficit in my knowledge of technology. Because Lefko has had use of my phone, gone through the whole thing himself. We look at him as the answer man when it comes to technology. He's buckled by the whole thing.
You let Lefko look through your phone?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I got it all dirty, too, Dave. Yeah. My hands were all over it.
He was licking his fingers before he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he couldn't figure it out. He's our technology guy, and he was buckled.
He claims to be.
Yeah, and that person pointed out.
I would gladly not be your technology guy. That means I have to help you a lot. So.
That person pointed out to me, he goes, I've heard you guys say you find technology challenging or something along those lines. I'm like, sir, this is not the case.
Did you
this
go,
time.
That we're talking about Dave, okay?
Just say,
it's not me. It's not Mike.
Saying this is not the issue in this particular instance. T-Mobile's a disaster.
You know, it would be
in
awesome
this particular moment.
If you handed me your phone and like in 5 minutes, I just boom, made it work.
Dave would just do what he does in the car. Push a bunch of buttons.
Yeah. That's right. I borrowed my wife's car and she texted me. She's like, did you push a whole bunch of buttons in the car? And I just responded, yes.
It doesn't know what they do. Just hitting them all. That's what he would do, and somehow it would work.
It would.
That's somehow it would work. All right. So, Dave, what about you?
Oh, I got nothing but love. Yeah,
nothing but love.
Nothing but love.
Nothing but just a perfect weekend.
Hang around. Rick Riz called, gave me a shout out yesterday. I almost said he called me out. Gave me a shout out for the happy birthday. I sat in my backyard in the sun, and it was a nice day.
Hey,
nice.
Happy birthday to our good buddy Dave Wyman, one of our radio stars on Sports Radio 710 ESPN. Always a pleasure when we visit with David. Here's the pitch on the way, and it's outside for ball three. 3-2 the count. He's on with Bob Stelton. And just want to say, David, on behalf of all of us on the broadcast crew on this Easter Sunday, happy birthday to Dave Wyman.
What a good dude.
A guy.
What a good dude. And he almost got the station right. That was really good. No, I'm kidding. I love Rick. That's very cool.
Who doesn't love Rick?
How cool is that?
Rick is the best.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Called you a radio star?
Yeah. I mean, he's the best. And he's like that all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
Every time you walk up to Rick Riz, that's him.
Yep.
That's the guy you get.
Quickly, Lefko, anything?
All good.
Yeah,
all
good.
Nothing to complain about. For once.
For once. You don't mind your bracket being destroyed, but your team is moving on.
Oh, made it great. All right. Would have minded Purdue won. It's all good. The fact that I got, one Elite Eight team right, and everyone got that right. So
your problem with your bracket is that you didn't pick Purdue. Is that right?
Yeah. I led with my heart instead of my brain.
You? Yeah.
You know who's going to win? This will bother you.
NC State.
Get out of here, Taylor. If Purdue wins in the Final Four, Brock Heward wins the bracket.
Oh, is that right?
If they lose, Taylor wins.
Oh.
So he's a big DJ Burns fan this weekend.
We're definitely with Taylor on this one.
All right. Now
don't I still have Purdue and UConn in there?
No, because you had Houston beating them, so you're out. So
did I?
It's down to Simeona, Taylor, or
you don't
Brock.
Remember that?
No.
I see. Yeah.
Absolutely not.
How long did it take you to fill out your bracket?
About 2 minutes, 2-3 minutes.
I was like, it was on a pace for like 4 minutes, and then I got cut off. The game started, but
yeah, I did go through. I told him I went through and read the different opinions, and Jay Billis was saying that's how I picked Kentucky as far as I did because of Billis. But yeah. I was just guys that follow the game certainly much closer than I do. I was trying to see what they had to say, and but after that, I just kind of whipped through it, and usually that's when I do better.
Yeah.
The more I know, the more damaging it is. Right. So there we go. All right, coming up, we know you're excited for this. Ryan Rowland-Smith is with us every week during the Mariners season, and it begins coming up next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.